Greetings, everybody. Today we'll be presenting secure upgrades through DRTM, or in other words, how not to get owned through your update process. So today, this presentation is going to be brought to you by Brian Payne and myself, Daniel Smith. And we're going to take a look at an advanced usage of Transboot's secure launch capability for Linux. This presentation is going to have a presumption of some understanding of DRTM and specifically the TXT implementation. If you do not have any familiarity with that, it is recommended that you take a review of the links to get up to speed on that. The talk itself is going to come in two parts. The first is just to look at integrity of updating and the specific scope to the problem we're addressing. And then Brian will actually touch on an approach to using DRTM on TXT to provide an integrity to your update process. So what is the problem? Well, guess what? Nobody writes bug-free code. There are, no matter how hard we try, and no matter how good we thought we did, eventually you have a bug. And the consequences of that is actually kind of a further reaching than some might consider, especially when it comes to building high integrity solutions. When you're dealing with higher integrity, when we have unexpected behaviors, that means we have unknown behaviors. And so now we have a deployed system in an unknown state, and now we need to be able to get it back to a known state. Most solutions today take an approach of just ensuring that the update is of known origin, but not whether or not that update can be corrupted during the process by which the update is applied. Well, this is kind of important because basically what this is the fact that runtime integrity of the system is not being validated. Yet it's the most critical part. I mean, when we get updates and we have not made sure that those updates can be applied without being corrupted, it really isn't going to matter if they came from the correct source or not. So in high integrity solutions, when we do a significant amount of work to make sure that we loaded everything that was right, or the right things, rarely do we ever ensure that it continues to be the right thing. So to get serious on about this, today we have major launch environments, secure boot and measured boot, and you have integrity managed IMA, major application loaders that do really good jobs about giving you a degree of integrity about what was loaded into the system. Rarely are there any runtime integrity solutions that are actually able to make good assertions about what's actually executing on the system. And even then, even less of those are actually deployed in the real world. So we spend a lot of time explaining how to do really good load time integrity. And we even, in the Transboot project, we're trying to make that very easy to deploy. But at the end of the day, there has not been a significant amount of effort looking into how to maintain that integrity over the life cycle of the system. So one of the things that we need to do is have some key understandings of what this problem space is. So when we need to update a measured launch environment, where that measured launch environment is doing both a local attestation, and that local attestation is actually coming in the form of unsealing key materials or other information that allows the system to boot. You then have, and then with that problem space, there are several privileges that are of concern for these MLEs. I won't go through all of them here, but there, at any time, if you have all of these privileges, it allows you the ability to change what's being decided upon or enforced through the measured launch environment. So to give a solid definition to the problem, so we have an MLE, which we'll call the runtime MLE, and it's designed to do a controlled system startup and using the unsealed process of the TPM to get access to some critical startup information. the runtime Emily is granted the privileges necessary to run the operational programs and to communicate with external entities. It is, and then in this case, we're specifically worried about when this MLE environment has a vulnerability and is deployed in a hostile environment, where you need to download and apply the update and then change the load time measurements to reflect the new updated environment. So with that kind of problem, Brian will kind of step us through an approach to solving that.
All right. Thank you, Daniel. So first we'll start out with a little bit of review. Specifically, we'll start with the TPM 2.0 platform owner authorization value. And we'll represent this in the slides with the little key symbol there, sub PO for platform owner. Looking at how authorization in TPM 2.0 works, we can see from the TCG spec that the controls available to the owner are essentially the owner auth and the owner policy values. And for our purposes, we are only concerned with the owner auth value. A little bit more review. This is the trench boot architecture with a monolithic style MLE on an Intel platform, which means we are using the TXT technology. We have CPU execution at the top of the slide, along with the two devices that we'll need in order to do an actual trench boot run. Those devices are the TPM 2.0 and some storage where we're going to keep the trench boot binary and its policy file. So when your CPU first powers on, it's going to run for a while, and eventually we're going to hit our bootloader, which in this case is Grub. And Grub is going to set up our environment and load and launch the Intel SInit ACM via the getsec sEnter instruction. So once Grub issues sEnter, the sEnit module starts to run, and it's going to perform some measurement of the trench boot MLE. It's going to take the measurement of the MLE binary and the measurement of its associated configuration data and store those into PCR 17 and 18. And then we've given, based on the knowledge of those values, the MLE a sealed copy of the TPM platform owner authorization value that it can use to perform some of its duties. Some of these duties may include upgrade or recovery of any of the components, including the MLE itself. There may be some attestation or unsealing operations. And ultimately, the idea is to load and authenticate a user operating system, which in this case is going to be Linux. Okay, so this is just kind of how things are supposed to work. And for all intents and purposes, it probably does work this way on day one. But shortly after you release a product like this, people start to notice. They take a look and they might find bugs, and some of those bugs might be exploitable. If they are, what happens? Well, in the monolithic case, if there's an exploitable bug in the MLE, there's a good chance that an adversary is going to recover the TPM platform owner authorization. After all, the value is sealed to the measurements of the vulnerable MLE. So when the vulnerable MLE or an attacker requests unsealing, the TPM happily complies. What this leads to is a good old-fashioned 2020 style dumpster fire. Your platform is now effectively completely compromised. There may not be a good way to fix this without actually recalling the platform and reprovisioning it in a clean room environment. So what do we do about this? Our solution is to separate management functionality from runtime functionality. We're literally splitting the MLE in two pieces. We now have two MLEs. The first one we'll call the runtime MLE. Its functionality has been pared down to literally just what it needs to do to load, authenticate, and transfer control to the follow-on OS. This means it has no access at all, read or otherwise, to the TPM platform owner authorization value. And then we have the management MLE. The management MLE has all of your upgrade and recovery functionality, but it has no ability to boot a follow-on OS. Here, we have the TPM owner authorization value that we need to perform the upgrade and recovery functionality that is not present in the runtime MLE. And again, note here that when the management MLE is finished, instead of transferring control to a follow-on OS, we're actually just going to clean up and reset the platform. This means we have no access to network, we have no access to a console, we have no access to removable devices. The secure environment the attack surface of the secure environment is minimized just to the execution of the MLE. Okay, so let's take a closer look at what this means from a security perspective. So in the first case, we have the runtime MLE, and this is just a normal boot, right? We're just trying to boot our operating system and get this system up so that, you know, our users can use it. And, you know, like before, at some point, there's a bug, and that bug is exploitable, and we end up with an adversary inside of our secure environment. Well, in this case, because we have removed the upgrade functionality and recovery functionality from the runtime MLE, it no longer has access to the TPM platform owner authorization value, which is great. That means that not only can it not steal the value, but because it doesn't, it can't even read the value, it has no ability to change your underlying platform configuration. Any TPM objects are going to maintain integrity. Again, because the PCRs required to unseal the owner auth value and then change configuration are set to those of the runtime MLE. But the owner authorization is again sealed to the management MLE. So unsealing doesn't work. Yes, the adversary can still affect the runtime MLE or its execution, potentially some of its attestation or unsealing operations, depending on configuration. And of course, it can then completely control the follow-on OS. But in this case, you haven't completely lost your platform. You can still recover without recalling and clean room provisioning. Okay, so let's take a look at how the management MLE works. In this case, we've added some new components to our boot partition, specifically the management policy file and the management MLE. We also have another piece of metadata in the TPM, which is a key hash for the management policy file. We won't go too far into that right now, but information in the references can help you understand more about that. So in this case, again, we're going to boot the MLE just like we did before, except for this time we're going to boot the management MLE. The management MLE now has access to the platform owner authorization value, and it can perform our upgrade and recovery of any of the other components in the trench boot architecture. Specifically, any of the TPM configuration items or any of the items on the boot partition. In addition, it can perform the forward sealing we need to make upgrade possible. And again, once we get through the execution of the upgrade and recovery functionality, we're not going to boot any other OS or give any other access to the system. We're just going to reset the platform. Again, no console, no removable devices, and no network. A very minimal attack surface. Okay, so naturally you're thinking to yourself, what if the management Emily has a phone, right? Well, that's certainly possible. But let's think for a second about what it would take to actually attack a management MLE, especially in the presence of some good operational security practices that we'll explain in a second. So first, you're going to have to find a vuln in the target's runtime MLE. Absent a vuln in the runtime MLE, there's no reason to ever run or even download a management MLE. So assuming you have an exploitable vulnerability in the runtime MLE, you now have to find the same thing in the management MLE. Okay, that's probably not too difficult either, right? But now you want to take advantage. You want to exploit that vulnerability. You're going to have to stage some attack code somewhere on the target platform. And if we, again, observe good operational practice, the management MLE has been designed such that it can be run from a completely disconnected state. Again, no console, no network, no removable devices. So the attack surface is very small. This means you're going to have to burrow into the platform in order to trigger your attack code during management MLE execution. Once you do that, you're going to have to collect and store your plain text secrets somewhere. And then presumably your goal all along has been to update the TPM configuration. So you'll need to do that. If for some reason you want to exfiltrate the secrets, you're then going to have to remain persistent in the platform across a platform reset until normal networking functions return. And then you can exfiltrate your secrets once the network is available. So you can see this is quite a long way to go to actually attack a management MLE. And on top of that, you're going to have to attack every management MLE you want to attack individually. And we'll see why. So benefits. The benefits of the split MLE model chiefly come down to the fact that a normal runtime or boot compromise does not equal a total platform compromise. You don't need to recall the system and reestablish trust in it by provisioning it in a clean room environment. Field upgrades are possible. The TPM owner auth value is never exposed to a network adversary or an OS adversary. Each platform is going to get its own unique secrets, meaning it has its own, each platform has its own unique TPM platform owner auth. There is no break once run everywhere. You're going to have to break every system you want to target. Also, there's no need to escrow and by implication protect all of your secrets in a centralized directory service or database of some kind, which is very attractive for enterprises or large organizations managing large fleets of systems. The runtime MLE and OS components are very easy to update or recover. Literally, it is a matter of copying new files onto your boot partition and rebooting into your management MLE, and then management MLE will do the rest. And ultimately, attacking the management MLE is hopefully much more difficult than attacking its runtime counterpart, especially when we observe good operational security practice and perform our upgrades in a disconnected state. Here we have a few references to the Trench Boot project and some other related presentations if you would like more information about the project. And with that, Daniel, on behalf of Daniel and myself, we thank you very much.